everybody. Welcome to the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
We're coming to you late at night, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, WonderCon 2018, Anaheim, California. Saturday was pretty rough, gotta be honest. So I know it's first world problems, but literally running from panel to panel.
Yeah.
Got there at 10 a.m., had the DC Publishers panel from 10 to 11:30. Had to run over to one of the hotels nearby, pick up passes for a couple Netflix panels we were covering. And then I had to get all the way back to the convention center by 11:45 for an interview with Ryan Benjamin. And then I think immediately following that, I went to the Valiant 101 panel that started at noon. So I was a little late for that. And then I actually had a break between 1 and 1:30. And I went to the press room and did a little work. And then at 1:30, the Scott Snyder spotlight started. But I only got to stay for 14 minutes. And I was actually going to ask Scott a question. I was like second in line. And, you know, Scott takes his time answering questions. He loves to talk. Rightly so. He's got a lot of interesting things to say. So by the time, I was like, I had to leave. I was next to ask a question, but he wasn't done answering the question in front of me. So I had to leave because I had to get to the Lost in Space panel.
Yep.
Because what's interesting about those passes they give you, they say, do not be late.
Yeah.
And then there was nobody even collecting the passes. So
actually, the what's disappointing about that is that they were letting people in. And I cut the line, walked straight to the door, and went right behind the next person. And I could have been Joe Blow.
Yeah.
Nobody would have noticed.
Yeah, but it wasn't full, so that's probably why.
Yeah, it's the arena, so,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't. It's just, you know, sometimes you stand it.
Yeah, the principle of the thing, yeah.
Again. First world problems.
Yeah. Yeah, so that ended at 3. Well, it didn't even end at 3:20. Because I left to go to the DC Universe panel that started at 3:30. And the Lost in Space was supposed to end at 3:20, but at 3:15 it was still going. Did you stay for the whole thing?
Yeah, I did. And then I ran upstairs.
Yeah. And you got there. Did you get there before the DC
Universe? I got there right at the right time.
Yeah, so DC Universe panel from 3:30 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually might have been 4:20. And so then I had to go to the Netflix press room for Lemony Snicket and Lost in Space. So, you know, the DC Universe panel was on the third floor, or second floor. And the Netflix press room was in the basement of the new building. So down three levels.
Yeah.
Did the press room. It ended a little early, like 6:25 instead of 6:30. And then had actually an hour almost, 45 minutes before I had to get to the next panel. So that was the first time I'd really been on the floor all day. So went around, said hi to Cass Anbar, talked to him about the panel. He was really happy because he took it upon himself to throw that panel together at the last minute, and it turned out really well. You know, they had over 1,000 people in the room for the Science of the Expanse. So he was really happy with that. Said hi to Scott Snyder, ran into Chris Ryle, talked to Frank Mastromore over at Aspen. So, yeah, I just had a chance to say hi to a few people I hadn't seen. And we talked to Jason Fabick for a little while. We've been trying to have him on the show forever, but we're really trying to get that set up for all you guys, so... Yeah. What about your rundown, Manny? What did you do today?
So, I was at the publishers panel with you. And then after that, I just... We're trying to get some logistics, some networking tools taken care of. And it It didn't work out, so we're gonna leave.
Still ticked off.
We're gonna leave that out. It's not a necessary story at the moment. And so I was doing that kind of running around. Got us some food, and then really just waited until it was time for the Lost in Space panel, because I completely forgot to go to the Warner Brothers panel because I was so busy just running around. And then the thing is, I know you know this, is that as you're running around, you run into people you know.
Yeah.
And they want to talk, and you want to talk because you haven't seen them since the last show. And so one thing leads to another, and then all of a sudden you're late.
Yeah.
So kind of bummed out. Nah, whatever. It was what it was. So Lost in Space, then ran over to join you for the DC Universe panel.
Yep.
Then I had about half an hour where I was able to go to the restroom. And the next thing you know, I'm thinking, you know what? I can get to the DC Superhero Girls panel
right when it starts
and
no way, sucker.
Whatever. Like, you know, it's the DC Superhero Girls panel. It's not going to. And so I come out of the bathroom because I went to the one next to the press room, and there's a line like to that wall. And I was like, "Hey, what's this line for?" And they're like, "Oh, DC Superhero Girls." Wait, what? This line goes all the way to the other hallway. It's like, yeah, this is for DC Superhero Girls. And I just kind of peek over, and the little kids and their parents. So, I mean, like, it's a lot of people when you put families together.
Yep.
And so I was pleasantly surprised, because you and I both have daughters. You and I both love the concept of it. So to see that many people excited for it, it was exciting for me, because if you get kids reading about different heroines, whatever, at a young age, you have a more likely that they're gonna maybe hopefully one day pick up a comic book. And so that was good.
How close were you to not getting in?
No, they had plenty of room.
Okay.
But it was just, I did not expect that kind of line.
Which room was it in?
210.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, they previewed a couple of things, and then finally, it was we ran over to the Lemony Snicket, a series of unfortunate events, which was Nathan Fillion at his best.
That panel was packed too.
Yeah, but the thing is, it was packed from before already, and pretty much nobody left.
What was it before?
I'm not sure. I think it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm not sure. You would have to look it up.
Yeah, I'll look it up while you continue.
Yeah, so that panel was packed, and that's really how I ended. That's really how I ended my night.
Yeah, I mean, I ran into the Lemony Snicket just to say hi to you, basically, and to use my pass for it, since I wanted to go to the Bat in the Sun Valiant panel about the Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, which was literally right next door. So, you know, I just popped in there real fast and let you know where I'd be. And, you know, Netflix sees that I used the press pass. What's funny is, like, they literally, like, it was dark in there, and they had ushers that were literally, like, counting seats. Like, if somebody left, they would go and pull another person in, and the line, there was tons of people still waiting to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny, I didn't have to, obviously, wait. I just went up to the front of the line, showed up my press pass to get in, and those press passes usually say, you know, says, like, don't be late, like, no admittance after the panel started.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you say that, because it was 6:55, and they were still, the other panel was still there. And I walked inside, and they said, hey, you need to, you can't come in yet. And I said, you don't understand. I was like, my pass says, do not be late. And it says 7:00, and I will not be late. They're like, okay, all right, I guess you can hang out here.
Yeah, so I went in, and there was still plenty of the reserve press seating available. But what's funny is, so I was only in there for like not even 5 minutes. And then I leave, and when I leave, they see a person leaving, and they say, oh, we have room for one. But I didn't say anything, but I'm like, yeah, that person's going to go in, and they're not going to be able to find a seat. They're like, we saw somebody leave. What's going on? So I don't know. Maybe they should have sat some of the press since, I don't know. It was, Screen Junkies, The Truth Behind Honest Trailers Plus Movie Fights.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Apparently that's a popular one. I don't know. After the series of unfortunate events screening, it was celebrating 20 years of Cowboy Bebop.
And there was a long line out
for
there.
For Cowboy Bebop?
I was very surprised.
Yeah, the new addition is really cool. It had a lot of space. They're big rooms, too. So it's clean, and it's new, and it's nice. Not that the other, you know, rest of the convention centers were run down. I mean, it's a nice convention center. I think I read somewhere, and it might have been in the WonderCon, like, press release they give you with all the facts. There was this new addition that WonderCon, Anaheim Convention Center is actually now the biggest convention center in the Western United States.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, they have some giant convention centers in Vegas. I don't know. Maybe it's the biggest, like, one that's all connected. Because you can get...
It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, the arena just would... Well, there's the arena, and then there's a 200 and A and B, or 210, whatever it is. And then there's the lower floor where they had the DC Publishers panel.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and there's some upstairs too, like, yeah, 300, like,
yeah. So
yeah, I actually feel like the arena is probably like the most rundown room of. It's the room that feels like the most.
It's always so dark in there. I've never noticed.
It feels old to me. I think it's just the style, like that's round and the way the seating is and everything. You know, it just seems real like 60s to me. So. But anyway, let's change gears here for a second. We're going to talk more in general about WonderCon and some comic publisher announcements specifically. But before we do that, you know, usually on Sundays we do Valiant Sundays. And I know a lot of you listeners are big Valiant fans. I know some of you personally from the Valiant fans boards. And we always appreciate the support. And Valiant's kind of in a strange place right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we really feel like, you know, we talk about it all the time, you know, with Valiant creators, with former people that worked at Valiant, with people that still work for the company, new people that have been hired. We wanted to take this time while we're at the convention to gather as much information, because a lot of you are coming to me asking me questions. What do I know? What do I not know? And a lot of times things I know have been told to me in confidence and I can't really repeat them. So what I really want is for somebody from DMG to say something. And I think all Valiant fans have really been waiting. And we feel like Valiant's gone from the most transparent comic company with Dinesh, you know, on Twitter teasing things, whatever, to the least transparent because nobody's saying anything. And so there's a fear there for a lot of fans that it's going to get driven into the ground or, you know, they're trying to hide things. And I got to tell you, with everything that's been talked about this weekend, it's interesting because I'll talk to one person and it seems like all doom and gloom, and then I'll talk to the very next person and they're super hopeful and they think it's actually a good thing. So, you know, there's going to be fresh blood and there's going to be growing pains. And yes, DMG came out and said they want to focus on the multimedia rather than the comics, you know, the TV, the movie. And here's the thing, right? Like if that's done well, like if the Vin Diesel movie is done well, and it blows up, it's going to bring a lot more Valiant fans. And if DMG is making a ton of money, maybe they'll see the value in putting some of that capital back into the comic side of things. I do still have my worry that they're not focused enough on the comics. Yeah. Because, you know, Dinesh always said we're a comic book publishing company first. That's not true anymore, but it doesn't mean that Valiant can't still do well. So I think it's still wait and see. I'm not saying that everything is hunky-dory and I have total confidence that they're going to be around in another 5 years. I still have my fears and my doubts, but they do have some good people. They do have some fresh blood. And they are the people that are still at working at Valiant Comics are they're trying their best. It's just they've kind of been put in a tough situation. So in a way, I'm more hopeful, but at the same time, I'm not. There's no part of me after talking to everybody about it that's more worried. You know, that I'm not more fearful. I've had a lot of my fears confirmed and a lot of my suspicions confirmed. Mm-hmm. But I also now recognize that there's a chance that they could still be okay. Now, whether or not we keep doing Valiant Sundays is still kind of up in the air, just because we haven't really gotten the support that we had gotten in the past, like when Hunter was there. But when I run into people that work at Valiant, they're still very supportive. So I don't think it's a conscious decision from them to not provide us as much information or support. Again, it's just things are really hectic over there right now, and it's not where their focus is. I think they're trying to figure out what everyone's role is, because so many people have left and they're very short-handed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think they're just struggling. So
I think also it's not just struggling, it's just everybody's trying to figure out their roles and, you know, trying to put all the ducks in a row before they say anything, because the last thing they want to do is make an announcement, then have to adjust, then make an announcement and have to adjust. I mean, it just, the timing of it just sucked, because it happened right before that convention season. So it just leaves so many things up in the air. And then it didn't help that they had made the decision of not to have a booth here at WonderCon. That there was like red flags everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Red flags everywhere. And like I said, some of those red flags have been confirmed. Some of them, I don't know. Like I said, I talked to one person and they confirm a red flag, and I talked to another person and they're like, don't worry about that. It's not a big deal. You know, so I don't know. It's going to be one of those it's going to be one of those wait and see things. But what I did find by going to that Bat in the Sun panel, there's still a lot of excitement for Valiant characters and a lot of excitement to see those characters come to life, you know? And so it's entirely possible that getting a Archer and Armstrong TV show out, getting the Ninjak versus the Valiant universe out, seeing the Vin Diesel Bloodshot movie come out, all those things could be a real big positive for Valiant.
Well, I mean, Valiant fans deserve it, because as we talk about every time we run into anyone, it's the fan base that really gets people involved first. I mean, I know that's how I got involved. It was sitting at a random burger joint in Long Beach talking about Valiant that got me super excited over some of these characters. And it's like I've seen on a lot of boards and things, and you know, until the quality of some of these books that everybody loves goes down, you know, people are going to, they're going to keep supporting it. They're going to keep reading. I know I am. I'm not going to let Bloodshot go. I'm going to continue to read Quantum and Woody. And I am just rooting for that Toyo Harada series, hopefully sometime next year. So, you know, it does suck though, when you run into some people who worked for Valiant and it was like, you know, nope, they're going to shut down next week or something, you know. But we off the record, we got to talk a little bit with one of the new additions to Valiant, and he seemed pretty cool. So we look forward to maybe having him later on the show. Still not going to say who it is just because of the circumstances, but that's one of the people we talked to that was like, you know what, this could work. So,
yeah. So I guess it's just it's a wait and see. I wish I had more news for you guys, but
don't we all?
But that's just the reality of the situation. So,
I also think we're kind of spoiled. Valiant spoiled us. Dinesh spoiled us.
Yeah.
Come on, let's be honest. At WonderCon, Comic-Con, it was always, this is what we're doing. This is exciting. This is the event. You know, 4001 AD, Book of Death, Secret Word, you know, go talk to so-and-so at the booth, and what do you think about this and this and that? And all the creators were just all, you know, just, you know, so excited about what they're doing. It was one of the best feelings at the convention, because you can just feel the excitement from the CEO all the way down to the guy running the booth. So so it's something that I think that Valiant fans already miss, because it was almost personal, you know?
Yeah, I agree. The thing is, the fan base is still there, so you know, it's still great to walk into a panel. A Valiant panel, and have everybody like you're walking into Cheers, like Norm, you know, I walk in a panel, Jace, what's up? And you know, I know almost everyone in there, and you know, it's great to see them. They're wearing poker lanyards or you know, Valiant shirts that I had made, or they've got the badge that Manny hooked up last year, which was awesome. So yeah, it's great. The fan base is still there, and even if Valiant goes away again, the fan base will still be there, and you know, Valiant will return someday if it doesn't work out. It's kind of wait and see. Like I said, wish I had better news or more news, something else I could say, but that's kind of where we're at right now. So when I know more and I'm allowed to share it with you, I will. And that's all we're going to say about Valiant for now. Valiant Sundays will continue for the time being, but we have other ideas if we decide to go in a different direction, and it doesn't mean we won't ever talk about Valiant again. But if we're not getting the support, it makes it tough to do, you know, a weekly show just about Valiant, because a lot of times we like to promote the books that are coming out the following Wednesday, and it's tough to do that if we're not getting the books early. So, we'll keep you updated. Now on to some other news. I guess we're going to talk about some of the announcements. Manny and I both talked about the fact we were at the DC's publisher panel today. They made a lot of announcements.
That is cool announcements.
Scott Snyder specifically. And then a little later at the DC Universe panel, there were a couple of announcements.
More cool announcements.
As well. So, What announcement from the DC Publishers panel did you... What was the most exciting? What were you like, oh, that's awesome?
For me, and you're going to roll your eyes because you know what I'm going to say. Actually, no. Man, which of the two am I going to pick? I'm going to go with Justice League Odyssey because it contains my favorite Lantern, Jessica Cruz. So now she's gonna be on her own. No Simon Baz, no Hal Jordan, no Flash to kind of keep her motivated. She's gonna get a little bit more responsibility and grow a little bit more in this book. And I'm very excited to see what they do with that.
And it's got Stefan Sedgwick art. The art on that one is amazing. I'll put, will I put some pictures in the show notes?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay, I'll try to put some pictures in the show notes. It's well after my bedtime at this point, and I want to get this out. So if the pictures aren't there tomorrow on Sunday as I'm releasing this, check back on Monday.
If that's the case, I'll have them with the written articles on Monday. How about that?
Okay. I'll put them in the show notes by Monday. I just don't know.
So the book's going to be written by Joshua Williamson, who did the Green Lanterns book originally when Rebirth launched, And you already talked about the Stefan Sajic art.
What? Joshua Williamson didn't do Green Lanterns originally. Humphries did.
I'm sorry, I confused the two. No, because he was on Flash.
Flash. He's still on Flash. Flash War is coming.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. But what makes Justice League Odyssey cool is that not only is Jessica Cruz part of the team, Cyborg, and then Azrael's making his comeback.
In a new costume that looks badass. Yeah,
in a new costume.
And Starfire's on the team.
Starfire. And then the wild card, Darkseid.
I still don't understand.
Darkseid is
no longer...
Now part of Justice League.
Darkseid is no longer a baby. But Stefan Sajic's take on him, like his design, his costume design is...
His costume design is really, really cool.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks good.
Yeah, so definitely really, really excited for that book. But I can't... I'm just going to jump into the other book that I'm really excited for, is that they're bringing back Justice League Dark. And this is going to be a Wonder Woman-led team. So this is going to be really, really interesting. So, you know, before we get into this, because I know it's kind of confusing, like, why are these characters with so many? Do you want to explain the concept behind why the teams are being broken up this way?
Yeah, I don't think that's too spoilery. So it actually spins out of Justice League No Justice, which is written by Scott Snyder and Joshua Williamson. And that in turn spins out of Dark Knight's Metal, number 6, which comes out this Wednesday, March 28th, I believe. So, based on the events of Dark Knight's Metal, the status quo in the DC universe has changed a little. And you can think of it, this is the way Scott Snyder described it in the panel. Think of the DC universe as we've known it up to this point as being contained within a fishbowl. And what the events of Dark Knight's Metal 6 do is they basically take that fishbowl that contained the DC universe, the DC multiverse really, and they dumped it into an ocean. So there's all this new surroundings, all this new status quo, all this new environment to explore. And with that come new threats. So
bigger threats, new threats.
There is a threat that the Kaluans, which they're the computer planet, and Brainiac, the classic Superman villain, is from there. And there are legendary beings. I think did he say energy beings?
Actually, you know what? I'm going to spoil it for everyone. They're the Celestials from Marvel.
I thought that too in the panel when they're talking
Galactus
about it.
Galactus is coming.
So they're these like energy god beings, whatever. Anyway, they're like of legend and myth from the Koloons. They never were sure if they actually existed, but they lived in fear of them. And supposedly they're making a return. They're going to show up. So Brainiac's like, oh crap, our entire existence is going to be wiped away. So he goes, even though he's a bad guy, he wants to still exist. So he goes to the Justice League and says, hey, here's the threat. Here's what's going on. And being that he's Brainiac and he's the smartest guy in the room, he's the one that puts the teams together. Says, we need this team to go do this. We need this team to go do this. And the teams that he puts together aren't just heroes. It's heroes and villains.
It's funny because, you know, Didio, being a baseball guy, calls it, he moneyballed them.
Yeah. No, I think Scott Snyder said that, actually.
Well, they both did. So,
So
the term they use is moneyball.
So he puts the teams together based on, like, okay, this team needs to fight the magic guys. And this team needs to fight the... And so that's kind of how the Justice League Odyssey team and the Justice League Dark team and the regular Justice League team get put together based on their particular skills. And it's really... And they talked about new titles coming out of... Snyder talked about new titles coming out of this initiative. Yeah. So there may be even some more titles that haven't been announced. So it's kind of interesting, and I think that Justice League Odyssey, Justice League, and Justice League Dark, it's going to be interesting to see if that many Justice League titles can do well, and how long they last. I think they're all monthly, so that's going to help. But yeah, it's exciting times for sure, and I think that the fact that they're all going to be operating out of the Hall of Justice,
that makes it even cooler.
Yeah, because it makes it even cooler.
So, with the return of the Hall of Justice, we also...
That was my favorite.
We also know that thing
that out of Scott Snyder's mouth in the DC Publishers panel was, we're going to see the return of the Legion of Doom.
Oh, yeah. The Legion of Doom.
Back. Oh, man. So amazing. I really, really can't wait to see. He wouldn't tell us who was on the team, but that's okay. I'll find out sooner or later. And when I do, you'll know. So, yeah, Legion of Doom is returning. Let me just...
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time.
Yeah, the Legion of Doom. No doubt that was my absolute favorite announcement of the panel. Is there anything else? The panel, the DC Publisher panel, there was a lot of information. This was kind of the main superhero part of it. They talked about the Neil Gaiman Sandman universe. I've never read Sandman. That's a giant hole in my comic.
So let's just talk about how weird it got. But
I didn't feel that it got weird. Like, I don't understand. I don't know what you mean when you say it got weird. Weird about it?
Like, is that really how he is all the time?
He just got, so they played a video that had Neil Gaiman, and he was talking about the four new titles that are going to be in the Sandman universe. He was, like, they filmed a video in New Orleans.
Is that really how he is all the time?
He was like, what do you mean?
That's how, I don't know. He's
stood
weird.
There on camera and he talked.
He's weird.
I didn't see the weirdness. I'm not, I just don't get it.
It's weird.
What was weird?
That. I don't know.
The fact that he was in an old pharmacy with bottles behind him?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's New Orleans, man. It has that old. It's an old city. It has that feel. I don't know. I want you to be able to tell me what was weird about it. I don't understand.
Maybe if it wasn't 2 a.m, I'd be able to tell you.
All right, so I'll ask you about it tomorrow.
But they did. Some of the new titles that they had going with the Sandman, just keeping with the same conversation, I thought were pretty cool. The fact that they had Nalo Hopkins, who's going to be working on House of Whispers, that book looked really interesting. It seems like there's going to be a lot of reading because I feel like I need to catch up.
Well, you have to read Sandman first.
That's a lot.
It's like 75 issues, I think.
It's a lot.
81 issues. It's long.
Maybe that zero issue could fill me in, like Cliff Notes or something. But, man, like, you know, they got that new Lucifer book they're bringing back.
Yeah, we got House of Mystery. The House of Mystery is returning. The House of Suspense, I think, is the other one's called. And then the new one's the House of Whispers. But the book, so there's actually a House of Whispers title, and then there's a, you mentioned the Lucifer title. Isn't there a Book of Magic one?
You know what? Let me take a look.
Where the kid is like, remember, they played the video and the woman was talking about how, this kid's 13 years old and he has the ability to perform magic and there's people trying to kill him already. And then the fourth one. So Lucifer,
But it's
House of Whispers.
Book of Magic.
Right. And then what's the fourth
one? The Dreaming.
Oh, The Dreaming. That's right. The Dreaming is the one that'll have the other houses. House of Mystery and House of Suspense or whatever it's called. So, yeah. I mean, I've never really had any inclination to read Sandman. Just as many people told me it's amazing. But I don't know. It's just not my particular cup of tea. But even with that being said, these books do sound interesting, so I'm sure if you're a fan of Sandman that these books, Neil Gaiman himself isn't writing any of them, but he's curating the line, he's giving advice, he basically handpicked the people that he wanted to work on the books. So it's definitely going to have the same feel and the same tone, and Neil's definitely involved. So again, if you were a fan of Sandman, I really encourage you to give this a try. So they talked about Mad Magazine. We'll talk about that real quick. Mad is actually relaunching. It's a new number one. They debuted the cover images and the logo. And I don't know that they ever really said why they decided to go with a new number one, but they are kind of shuffling things around over there at Mad, and maybe they just decided it was time for a fresh start. I mean, a lot of the classic people are still there, like Sergio Aragonés and Al Jaffe and the guy that does, I can't remember his name, but the guy that does Spy vs. Spy. So it's still going to be recognizable as Mad, but I think they're going to try some new stuff and update it a little bit for the modern audience. So
yep.
I imagine that's why they wanted to label it a new number one.
It's funny because I think I went like maybe when I was 14 or 15, I went like a year where it was like Mad Magazine, that's all I wanted to read. And then I'd never picked it up again.
Yeah, I was the same way. There was a particular time in my life where, yeah, I always got Mad Magazine when it came out. And then I got away from it. The first thing that actually, I forgot about this, the first thing they talked about was the DC Zoom and Ink, the young adult or young reader books. Now, these are aimed at young readers, so there's the DC Zoom line is the one aimed at the younger readers. So think like 8 to 10 years old, 6 to 10, somewhere in there. Anyway, so they introduced that line, and then the DC Ink is aimed at, like, I guess you'd say 10 to 14. So here's what's interesting, right? So I'm 40 plus. And
I know where you're going with this.
I'm not the target audience. And I don't, you know, I didn't read like Hunger Games or Harry Potter or any of those other series that were aimed at young adults, but that were so good that they captured a lot of the imagination of adult readers as well.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me. I've never done that before. I've never really had desire to read those stories. Every one of these DC Ink and DC Zoom titles sounded good. I was like, I'd read that. Some of them, I was like, yeah, I want to read that. So luckily, you know, my daughter's 6, but she reads a couple grade levels above, you know, first grade, even though she's only in first grade. So, I mean, I'm thinking sooner than later, but of course, I think the first book doesn't even come out till next year. So by that time, she'll really be ready for them. And I'll have an excuse to read them with her. Because I want to check out the stories. Yeah. So that's really, it's really, really cool. And I hope that it catches on. Because, you know, they try these initiatives and sometimes they don't work out. So really hoping that this works out. Anything you want to add about Zoom and Ink?
Well, you know, I like the fact that for Ink, that they're not just kind of glossing over certain topics. I mean, even with kind of the description of that book for Harley, it seems actually the backstory seems a little bit more interesting than what they did in the universe line. So I'm like, oh, I want to pick that up. And then there's that book also that they're going to be releasing about Mira. And I mean, it's just like they seem like really good stories. And I'm kind of sitting there going, where were these books when I was 12, 13 years right. old. They didn't have those. So, but I'm glad that my daughter's going to get them. So, yeah.
I think the only other thing they talked about, which we dedicated a whole special episode to, so we'll just mention it briefly, is the Black Label.
So the outside continuity stories told by really amazing, amazing creative teams that aren't bound by past continuity and making sure that it fits into current plans. These stories will stand on their own in their own universes, and it'll just be a chance for the creators to kind of spread their wings and be unfettered. So, yeah, like I said, you want to know more, go listen to the special episode we did for that.
Speaking of which, then they talked about all of the Black Label.
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about.
Yeah.
DC Black Label.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were segueing into it.
No, that's what I'm saying. I said we did talk about it already. We and if you want to know more, go check out the Spotlight. So, yeah. DC Universe panel was fun. Julie Benson, Shauna Benson, Mitch Gerrits, Joshua Williamson, and took questions from the audience, talked a little bit about their current work. Although Mr. Miracle, I feel like, didn't get much time in the spotlight on that panel for being as big as it is. But Joshua Williamson talked about Flash War and how for a good year, Josh and Tom King, whenever they were at conventions, would ask people who their favorite Flash was. They wanted to get a sense. And to their surprise, so many people said Reverse Flash that Josh was thinking he needed to go back and retell the story in a different way. So that was kind of funny. Julie Benson and Shauna Benson talked about kind of how bittersweet it is that their first comic that they ever worked on, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, is ending. But maybe my favorite announcement of the convention so far is the fact that Julie Benson and Shauna Benson are going to be writing Green Arrow. I love the Ben Percy run that started actually before Rebirth. And I think Ben had a unique take on the character, and it was grounded and it was gritty and it was super awesome. And I was very sad to see him leave. But the fact that Julie and Shauna are taking over, I have complete confidence that this book will continue to be amazing. And they're super, super excited. We're going to be seeing a lot of Dinah in the book. She'll continue to show up. So obviously they know Dinah well. You know, she was part of the Birds of Prey. So with Black Canary hanging around, I expect them to treat her properly. And I think that's it, right? What else do you want to add? Anything from the Universe panel that sticks out in your mind?
Not really, no. I think that was the biggest thing was the Green Arrow announcement that they confirmed that they were going to be staying on the book. The thing that I liked with their concept, what they're going to go for is not many supporting characters. It's more they're going to more focus on Oliver and Dinah
and yep,
keeping them together. And I'm like, I'm on board. If that's your concept, I'm on board.
Yeah, I mean, well, as soon as I heard it was the Benson sisters, I was like, yep, I'm in. So, I guess that's going to do it for this special WonderCon edition. Manny and I will have a wrap-up Tuesday, Wednesday, sometime this week. Most of the content this week is probably not going to follow our regular schedule. You can kind of think of it as WonderCon week as we release the content that we created here at the show and talk about announcements and all that kind of good stuff. So really appreciate everyone listening as always. Don't forget to go to LRM online for all past episodes of the podcast. You can also check out their other pop culture coverage on TVs, movies, all that kind of great stuff. Don't forget that the Comic Source is on twitter.com/thecomicsource. Also, be sure and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Just do a search for The Comic Source and you'll find us pretty easily. That's the best way to follow along with coverage. Manny and I were both putting stuff out on Instagram all day. And, you know, the Instagram's linked to the Twitter and the Facebook. So as long as you're following us in one of those places, you're going to get the content. You're going to see
the news, the pictures, as if you were there. So once again, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.